Chapter 31, I would title this portion of Scripture, Time to Go Home. Time to Go Home. Jacob has now been away from the Promised Land. He has now been in the land of Haran for in the neighborhood of 20 years. And God begins to move him to go home, to return back to the Promised Land. In chapter 30, verse 43, just for the sake of reference, says, and the man increased exceedingly. The man increased exceedingly. The man was Jacob. And as we get into verse 1 of chapter 31, the he is Jacob. Verse 1, and he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all his glory. This chapter opens up with Jacob overhearing some things that Jacob's sons were saying. As far as I know, I'm pretty sure on this, I think this is the first place that mentions that Laban had sons, or that his sons are mentioned. Where they were, where they came from, is not revealed to us. But he heard them talking about how Jacob had taken away all of Laban's, let's just say, wealth, his herds. Jacob did no such thing. Jacob is falsely accused that we're talking here about sour grapes, really. Jacob hath taken away all of our fathers, and of that which was our fathers hath he gotten all his glory. He's even taken away the glory, the prestige that was Laban's. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. He's hearing these things from Laban's sons, and he can see in Laban a change in attitude. His countenance has changed. Back in verse 27 of chapter 30, Laban said unto Jacob, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. That's a good spirit to have. That reflects a good spirit. I have learned that God has blessed me by being close to you. But chapter 31 reveals to us that that countenance, that attitude that Laban had towards Jacob was changed. And the Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers and thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Over in verse 13, 11, 12, 13, thereabouts, Jacob speaks about the Lord telling him to return, to go home. And I wrestled with the context of that one and the context of verse number 3, and I think it's just simple as considering it in its order. He heard what the sons of Laban were saying. He saw a change in Laban's countenance. God told him it was time to go home, to return. And then he will enter into a rehearsal of things with his wives, and he will repeat to them how God told him it's time to go home. The Lord said unto Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to the kindred, thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Here's a restating, if not a renewal, a renewing, a restating of the covenant. It's time for you to go back to the land of your fathers, and I will bless you, and I will be with you, and I will not leave you. And God hasn't done any of those things, and he's promising not to do any of those things. And the covenants and the promises and the pledges that God makes to us and gives us are just as sure. We should never, ever assume, because of circumstance, that God isn't keeping his word. He always keeps his word. He always keeps his covenants, always keeps his promises. And in verse 4, he calls for Rachel and Leah to come out to where he's keeping his cattle. And he rehearses to them what God has led him to do. Verse 4, and Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance that is not toward me as before, but the God of my fathers has been with me. What a comfort, what a confidence. With all of his weaknesses and all of his frailties, God's blessings was upon him, were upon him. And he says to his two wives, not counting the two concubines or wives that were the handmaids of his wives proper, he says in verse number 5, Your father doesn't feel towards me like he used to. But my father has been with me. No matter what exists between us and others, and what changes, like the weather sometimes, we know God is always with us. Always with us, and is never a fair weather God. But my God, or the God of my father, has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. You know you are witnesses to how I have served your father, Laban. In chapter 30, verse 27, chapter 30, that's not the one I wanted. Well, I can't find the note that I wanted to look at. But he says there, you know how I have served your father. The verse I wanted to look for, not too far back from where we are, speaks about his serving for Rachel 7 years and it passing like it was nothing. He served joyously. He gave his all. He gave his best in service to Laban. And he calls his wives to testify. And you know, Rachel was his first love, but he didn't get Rachel the first time around. He got Leah. And so he had to finish her week, it's called in Genesis. And he gave his all. He didn't cheat. He didn't lie. He worked faithfully for all of them, and I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me. When you first read that, you know how I've served your dad, and he's changed my salary 10 times. First thing that comes to mind is he's probably exaggerating a little. Sounds like an exaggeration. But there doesn't seem to be any indication in the text to believe that he's exaggerating. And there's every indication in the text that Laban was a little bit of a sneak, more of a sneak than Jacob. So I think it's safe to assume that Jacob is speaking truth. You know how I've served your father for you, and how I have labored, given it all that was required. And you know your dad has changed my wages 10 times. And so I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave with a clear conscience. Verse 9. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. Here's indication that, no exaggeration, Laban has been sneaky, Laban has been crooked, more sneaky and more deceptive than Jacob ever was, tricked and plied Jacob every way possible, changed his wages 10 times, tried his best to get something over on Jacob. And God rewarded his trickery by delivering his herds into the hands of Jacob. Not by deception, not by stealing them, but by the way they came up with, we're going to watch all these animals that are born with spots and stripes and what have you. Those that are solid will stay in the possession of Laban, and those that are spotted or striped or whatever would become Jacob's. And God caused those animals to conceive in such a way that Jacob ends up with great herds, Laban ends up bankrupt. Bankrupt. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me, verse number 11, in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I have seen it all, is what God says to Jacob. reminding us God sees everything. They can lie, they can cheat, they can trick, they can deceive, they can work against us and do all that they desire against us, but God is sovereign. And God sees it all, and God keeps perfect records. He blesses his people. And he does not bless, and he withdraws blessings from those on Laban's side of the equation. Verse 13, I am the God of Bethel. What's Bethel? Beth? House, El, God. I am the God of Bethel. I am the God of the place that you called Bethel or house of God, house of my God. Where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowest a vow unto me, now arise, get thee out from this land and return unto the land of thy kindred. I am the God of Bethel, and God calls him back to Bethel. He will go through Bethel before he is completely returned to the promised land, back to Bethel. I'm sure there are songs, and I'm sure there are sermons, and there's much thought in Jacob's being called back to Bethel. Now the remaining verses of this chapter, verse 14, 15, and 16, are from the perspective of Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him as strangers? For he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. Whatever inheritance they had, Laban has squandered all of that. They would have surely had some dowry. They would have surely had some of Laban's money still coming to them. And the daughters say, we have nothing in our father's house. We're counted to him as strangers, for he has sold us and hath quite devoured our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, and our children. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. The two wives here say to Jacob, we have nothing. Our father has treated us as badly as he's treated you. It looks like that's the way he treats everybody. So whatever God has laid upon your heart to do, we're with you. We go with you, and they will soon be beginning the journey back to the promised land. Look at this beginning of Jacob's returning back home to the land of his father. We look at how he was dealt such a bad hand and how he was mistreated and how God in his providence brought Jacob into crisis. And we learn from Jacob's example that in the providence of God, he brings us into crisis. He brings crisis into our lives to cause us to fall upon God. See, it's a negative, it's a bad thing, it's a bad experience, and there are many of those that come into our lives, and God is in control, and God is sovereign, and when bad things happen to God's people, when bad things happen to good people, as we often say, It's not an accident. It's not because God has overlooked something, but God intentionally, He intentionally brings things into our life that are maybe described as crises. And God brings crises into our life to cause us to fall upon Him. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who are the called according to His purpose. Doesn't say all things are good. All things work together for good. And so God brings crises, and you don't like crises, and I don't like crises. But He brings crises into our lives so that we fall back and rely upon Him to catch us, to lead us, and to direct us. Are you in a crisis? Don't curse God. Just fall back into His arms, trusting He'll catch you, and accepting the fact that He brings these crises for a purpose. God never brings crises into our lives to hurt us. God brings crises into our lives to cause us to fall upon His deliverance. Laban's attitude is changed, and it has changed as God has blessed Jacob. And again, you find that same pattern in the people of the world and us, the people of God. When being around God's people seems to bless them, the world and people of the world are very happy. But as the people of the world are around the people of God, and they're very happy to be around the people of God because they sense a blessing upon them for that location, when their blessings seem to begin to dwindle and the blessings of God's people are on the increase, they soon lose that attitude of, well, we're blessed by Your presence. They're thinking, well, God's doing something unfair. Many times the world's attitude will one day be for us and like us and like us close by them, but it will ultimately change, and I believe always change eventually, to their despising God's people, not wanting anything to do with God's people. Amen. Laban seems to become bankrupt by his behavior. Verse number 1, verse number 9, verse number 12. Not that Jacob was stealing, not that Jacob was doing anything dishonest. He was doing everything completely honest as God had led him to. But he had become bankrupt, and Jacob had become greatly wealthy, possessing great wealth. And see, that's a part of God's covenant. Part of God's covenant maybe we don't spend much time on. In God's covenant, the promise is, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those who curse you. That's part of God's covenant to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, throughout the Old Testament, and even, I believe, current today. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse. And Laban had mistreated and had deceived and tricked Jacob at every corner, treated him spitefully, And that's what God did. He had treated Jacob as a cursed thing, so God treated Laban as a cursed thing. Amen. I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that God is not mocked. God is not mocked. God blesses those who bless his people and curses those that curse his people. And if you sow to the world or to the flesh or to the world in the whirlwind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. You're going to pay greatly. And here's the great difficulty. And I said some things along this line up at Flat Rock, and I didn't know if it was misunderstood or possibly it could have been misunderstood. I don't know. Didn't hear. I just felt. Wish I hadn't said anything. Like I am going to wish after the service tonight. I wish I hadn't said anything. But you know, the people of Israel don't always do right. People of Israel can be a hard people to figure out. Some of the things Netanyahu leads Israel to do and is a part of, I believe, are just wrong. The bombings and the mass destructions, they've been given a free course on our side of the ocean, and they're taking full advantage of it, and people all over the place are being obliterated. But we can't say anything against that. Why? Because God tells us to pray for Israel. God tells us to pray God's blessings upon Israel and leave God's dealing with Israel for all of their blunders to him. See, they're not yet restored. They're going to be restored during the tribulation period. Israel is going to be regenerated. They're going to be born again. They're going to be restored into the fellowship with the Lord to go into the millennial kingdom and to rule and reign as Christ sets upon the throne. They're not there yet. And so they're going to do some, excuse the expression, stupid things. And things that we're not maybe 100% comfortable with, but we need to always side on their side. They're the people of God, the chosen people of God, and we're not to try to figure it out, really. Just let the Lord take care of it as he will take care of it in the end. Obviously, Jacob's conscience is clear. Verse number 6 of our text. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. You know my conscience is clear. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 16 tells us to have a clear conscience before God. To maintain a clear conscience. If you suffer while you're doing right, take it patiently. Have a clear conscience. God's going to sort it out in the end. If you suffer falsely for having done wrong, suffer wrongfully for having not done wrong, just take it patiently. Make sure your conscience is clear, and God's going to sort it all out in the end. God is directing Jacob at this time. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, we see him leaving the promised land for the land of Gerar, where he will spend 20 years or so away from the promised land. In all the glory that speaks about his prosperity, his prospering, his wealth, and all the wealth that he gained, and all of those things that switched from Laban to Jacob, all the glory belongs to God. God did it all. Jacob has no credit to take to himself. All the glory goes to God for his covenant keeping. Verse 5. God of my father hath been with me. Verse 7. But God suffered him not to hurt me. Verse number 9. Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father. Verse 13. I am the God of Bethel. Return back to Bethel. Verse 16. For all the riches which God hath taken from our fathers, this sister speaking here, but all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours, all that God has given you, you do what you feel the Lord leading you to do. So in Genesis chapter 31, we find Jacob beginning the long journey home. This entire chapter, I think there's 55 verses, this entire chapter deals with that journey back home. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who God has called you to make the long journey home. We spoke about being backslidden this morning. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who God finds as being backslidden. And God has said to you today, tonight, this morning, God has said to you, it's time to come home. If God is calling you to return back to the promised land, back to the center of his will, best thing he can do is to do it quick. Do it as soon as possible. Examine yourself, rather be in the faith. Examine yourself, rather or not you're backslidden. Examine yourself, rather or not you're enjoying the blessings of God, the pouring out of God's blessings upon you. And if there's anything in your life that points out to the fact that God remembers how it was at the beginning and he doesn't like what he finds now, get back with God. Get that journey started, whatever it might take tonight. You'll never regret it. Let's stand together.